never knew a love like this before. Here's Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
Want to learn how to use the task manager to get rid of an unresponsive program? You know, the
yes.
not responding kind of thing? Want to see our shortcut of the week on how to get to the task manager? You want to be warned about the latest worms and viruses and how they may or may not impact you, for instance? There's a lot of misinformation about Zotab in the media. They forgot to tell people that it's primarily targeting Windows 2000 systems. And then they forgot to tell people the vulnerability in Windows 2000 is also, it also exists in all other versions of Windows. So the proper advice is make sure you get your version of Windows, regardless of which one it is, get it patched with this latest patch that will eliminate the possibility of you being exploited, because there's a real good likelihood that these morons that create these things are probably going to try to target Windows XP or Windows 98 or something else to try to get after more people.
Actually, they're not. They're not morons.
They're not
pretty,
morons?
They're pretty smart guys.
And a lot of people may want to know how a large company with big security systems and firewalls and those kinds of things can end up getting a worm like this. This is OTOP. You know, because the primary way it kind of infects machines is it looks on the internet for unprotected machines. So you would suspect that that would typically be small businesses that really don't have an IT staff, don't really understand what they're doing, and home users. And that, but you heard this CNN and ABC News and all these big, big companies that got hit by this worm. And how could they get past, you know, all the security they put up? Well, it's real easy. That just shows you the power of an email. Once the email delivers the virus-infected file, if it gets through in any way, shape, or form, and one person somewhere behind that security system opens up that message, this particular worm goes right to work, infecting as many other machines as it can see behind that firewall. It compromised all that money. It was compromised by one mouse click.
And then there are times when there's a need to expose certain machines to the internet for whatever reason. And so those machines, if you don't stay on top of them, they can things can get wild real quick.
Well, the other possibility, too, is if you have a laptop and you work behind a corporate network, you know, at the office, and then you take it home and you're connected like the other gentleman that called in that had the Windows Media Edition and Cox Cable, but no router, no firewall that we could figure out, at least. Well, you take the laptop from the office home, and you connect to your high-speed internet at home, you get infected that weekend, you go back on Monday and plug it into the network, and guess what? Worm goes to work. So you really kind of got to think these things through, and of course the IT folks that are trying to control all of this pull their hair out when these things happen, because somebody did something simple like that somewhere out there in these big organizations, and doesn't matter how much security you put in place. Uh-oh. They got you. So let's go back to the phones here. Again, all of the resources, all the information, datadoctors.com. Click on the radio show section, and you can sign up for the newsletter that I'm talking about right then and there.
You can.
And Skittles in hand, we're now with David, who has a Sony and an internet problem. Yes, David?
Yes, sir.
What can we help you with?
Well, I have two Sony VAIO machines. One's a laptop, and one is a desktop. Desktop is connected to the Linksys broadband router directly, and the laptop is wireless. Don't have any problems with a laptop. You know, we can use it, get on the internet, do whatever we need. But with the desktop, it seems like very randomly, my wife will come in and she'll, you know, it'll be, you know, in, I guess, dormant mode, and she'll, you know, try to get on. And she's got two computer symbols down in the lower right-hand corner with access room. And I think the message says something like...
Yeah, both of them are disconnected.
Yes.
Now, you said the desktop is wired or wireless?
Wired.
It's wired.
Yeah, in other words, it's plugged directly into the router because the router's sitting right next to it.
So yeah, that, usually it's the other way around that you have this problem.
Mm-hmm. And she gets frustrated. And the only thing we can do, because it locks the machine up, so I actually have to unplug the machine, plug it back in, turn it on, and then, of course, the connection is reestablished.
Well, wait, when you say unplug, are you talking about unplug the network cable or unplug the power?
No, unplug the power to the computer.
So it actually locks up, it freezes.
It freezes the
okay.
computer, yes.
Well, then you have a major problem in the operating system on that machine.
On the...
The actual desktop machine. Yeah, it has nothing to do with the networking.
Okay.
That's just the thing that's the catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
That's showing you that you've got a rib sticking out of your side.
Okay.
You know, you got some problems there, because if it's hard locking,
mm-hmm.
that's a major deal.
Mm.
Could be hardware, could be software. Do you know when this started?
It's been about 3 months.
Can you remember any major changes to the system, any updates, any new utilities, anything around that time?
Yeah, she downloads everything that AOL sends her. So I don't know if
that'll teach her.
Yeah, I know. The only thing that's really on the machine, other than is her AOL software, and it's.
Did you hear our little checkup method earlier?
I beg your pardon?
Did you hear what we were doing, showing people how to see how many processes are running?
Yeah, actually, it looked very clean.
And how many processes did you have running?
58.
That's not clean? Whoa!
Well, no, let me rephrase that. Number of processes wasn't, but the percent was 0 to 1, 0 to 1, and the performance was...
How many processes were running in the background?
58.
That's not good.
Okay.
If it's above probably 25, 28...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, clean is below 20.
Okay, I wrote that note down, and that was something I knew I had to research. But I was encouraged by the fact that the CPU utilization was usually from 0 to 1, 2, 3.
Well, let me then go into further detail then.
Okay.
Those 58 processes, any two of them could be going at each other. And that's what's causing your lockup.
Okay.
Which one of those 58, of course, which two... It's like if you go to a PTA meeting and there's three people there, it's pretty easy to get something passed, right?
Yes.
If there's 58 people there, ain't going to happen, buddy.
Gotcha. Now,
that's what's happening in your computer. These people are all fighting with each other.
When we were doing our little walkthrough before, and we said there's this area to check, and this area to check, it wasn't that if you're good in any one of those three, you're good, or if any two of those three, you need to be good in all three of those three.
Okay.
Or you got problems. Now, the hard freezing, though, that means it's a really major issue because it's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next time it hard freezes, try to get into the task manager. I don't know if you already have.
No, I haven't, but that's a good suggestion.
Because if the task manager does come up, you may see something that says not responding.
Okay.
Make a note of what that is and then tell it to end that process and see if it frees up your machine again. If it does, now you started down that diagnostic trail.
I've had a couple of situations where it said not responding, and I've tried to end the process, and it wouldn't end the process.
So, yeah, you either are in for a heck of a weekend if you want to try to narrow this thing down, or you might want to consult a very technical individual that might give you a better way to get back to where you've got a good, clean machine.
I'd be willing to bet if you could get from 58 down into the 20s, that you'd have significantly different kind of experience with that machine.
Okay. I'd say that's probably a safe bet.
And is there what is a recommended process to start whittling away at that?
Well, see, that's the problem.
Uh-huh.
It's everybody's different. That's what you have to, everybody complains about Microsoft makes this crappy software.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really about Microsoft software, because if you ran it the way they did in the labs, you wouldn't have near the problems you have.
Sure.
But the 58 processes you have are probably unique to your one machine in the entire planet.
Got it.
It could be 58 processes in another machine, but 12 of those processes are different. You see the problem there?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go one at a time to kind of figure it out. That's, again, since you're having this problem, I don't recommend that you download that our download of the week.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to manually go through, and we've got resources that'll tell you. You can actually go research every one of those 58 if you want to figure out what's what.
If you want to try this on your own, you can just go straight to our website, datadoctors.com. You click on the radio show section, and we've got some resources posted that'll help get you a start in the right direction if you're semi-technical. You might be able to get down that road and make a decent impact.
The other option you have is Sony gives you a recovery disc, which means they'll put it back to the way it was when you first got it. But that means all your programs, all your address books, all your favorites, all your emails, pretty much everything's gone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know if that's a lot of computer guys like that approach because it's easy for them, but it's a lot of work for you.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful of that one.
They name those things very poorly. Recovery CD seems like, wow, it's going to make my day good.
Actually, the CD should say, life as you know it is over.
Uh-huh.
So, enter CD-ROM at your own risk.
Well, the good news, like I said, she's really it's a very low-used machine. So
you can spend probably four times as much time trying to figure all this stuff out than starting over, if you're comfortable doing that.
We have the... zip drives, the little flash drives that we thought we could probably maybe save the emails, the address book, and stuff like that.
Yeah, but you're going to have to make sure you understand it, because a lot of people don't know where the files are that store that stuff.
Yes.
So
And remember, you can only save the data. The programs have to be reinstalled, so before you go down that path, make sure you have all your disks for your Microsoft Word or whatever programs you're using.
That's correct. Okay.
You got to get back to there. So.
Okay.
Be very, very careful.
All right.
It's a lot of heartache.
All right.
Or you end up coming to our data recovery lab going, I totally forgot about this. Mm-hmm. Critical stuff.
All right.
Good luck,
well,
man.
Gentlemen, I appreciate it very much.
All right. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you're having any kind of hard lock where you have to literally turn your computer off, that's not a simple little idiot light. That's a pretty major problem.
If you've got 58 processes.
That's not good. That's 58 with nothing going on.
That's a lot of junk.
That's 58 balls in the air that Windows is having to juggle.
And then open up two or three programs and see what you add.
Woo!
Big stuff.
Had a machine the other day that was so screwed up that every time you started it, it would actually continue to open the HP printer driver. Every 30 seconds, it opened another copy of it. So
wow.
As you sat there, it would... I think within 3 minutes, there were like 61 instances of just that one driver. For some reason, the computer didn't react very well.
Huh.
It wasn't very peppy.
I was in Albuquerque last week, and there was a machine they had in for service that I think is our new data doctor's record, because I took a picture of it just to show everybody. It had 17,000 and change infected files with a virus.
17,000?
Yeah.
So it would have been faster to say, show me the clean files. We have four.
Yeah, pretty much.
Have to understand, folks, is when you get infected with certain worms and viruses, they literally attach themselves to everything you open.
Yes.
So if you go 2 or 3 weeks or a month or 2 months without knowing that you had this worm or virus, everything that you've touched...
It's like a cancer inside your computer just spreading to everything.
And some of them, when you clean out the virus, will actually damage the files in order to clean them. So it's like having to take a lesion and taking a big chunk of skin with it. And if you do that enough times, your computer's not in real good shape.
Probably not. We got to take a quick break. We've got another segment left when we come back. We already did our download of the week and our Geek Speak of the week, so I guess it's just going to be more your calls and questions.
And we'll give you more tips on how not to get into the situations that you hear repeatedly every week here. And the Zen of computing is the easiest way. Do not install anything you don't need. In fact... Don't install things you think you need until you've absolutely positively figured out you truly do need that application. You will save yourself a lot of heartache and a lot of money in the long run.
We're going to take a break and figure out what Ken just said.
What do you mean?
I don't know. We're the Data Doctors, Ken and Brandon. Back in just a second.